and shared in the Family Matters class about why he's doing. RTM is an Assemblies of God pastor in Kyrgyzstan. He's doing a phenomenal job. They do sports camps during the summer. They do they operate a teen challenge, and then they have the regular church there, and they're doing a wonderful job. He was telling us about how the government is trying to bring more oppression upon them, and just a lot of things are happening. One of the things he told us that they do is every year they do shoeboxes for the kids at Christmas. And you guys probably heard there's a lot of shoebox programs going around. They do shoeboxes as a Christmas gift for the kids there that go through the sports camps. And this year, actually, they're actually focusing on villages, too, around them to bring shoeboxes to. So we want to help them in that. We want to be a part of that. And I know you'd love to bring stuff. You'd love to pack the shoeboxes. That would be so much fun. But if we did that, they'd get them like in April. And so this is why we're doing this. Out front on the little table by the coffee bars over there, you see these little postcards, and they say shoeboxes for Kyrgyzstan. What we're doing is we're going to collect money. I know it's not as fun as bringing the stuff and packing the boxes, but we want to make sure it gets to them so they can use them this Christmas. And so we got these cards out here, and what we average the cost would be about $20 a box. If you'd like to do that, grab these cards, write your name down, and put down how many boxes you'd like to sponsor this year, and turn it in. If you're, you know, Zach always says his generation. Listen, I don't carry cash either, so I think it's a regular thing now. Except now, here's my beef. Okay, the society has got us where we don't carry cash, right? Great, I do my phone, I tap to pay, I love it. Don't even carry a card. But now the gas stations are turning on us, right? And now you get a discount for paying in cash. Like what the junk's that about? Like I gotta go back to carrying cash now? And then you pull up, you're like, well, I'm going to fill up. Well, how much is it going to be? I don't know. So how much you pay them? I mean, anyway, that's my pet peeve. But anyway, so if you don't carry cash, go online, brighton.church, go to giving, and there's a place that says Kyrgyzstan. You can't miss it. It's the only one on there. And so just click that and give that way. But we want to help them out. We want to bless them. We want to bless some kids this Christmas time. And so that's what this is all about. And so if you need more information, just come see me. And we will get you on hooked up, and we're going to bless them. Hopefully, maybe in the future, we'll look at taking teams. He really wants teams to come over there because he said he brings teams over there, and the people want to practice their English. And he said we can openly witness to them. He cannot. But if we bring teams, they can share the gospel with people openly. And so he's really, really pushing for that. And so we'll see what the future holds on that. But just help us get behind them and bless them this Christmas. If you're new at Brighton, what we do at Brighton is we land on a book of the Bible. We pray and we fast about where the Lord wants us to go. And he leads us to a book in the Bible. When we get to that book, we just kind of walk through the book of the Bible and see what it has to say to us. So we've been going through Exodus. And what's so phenomenal about the book of Exodus, we see the movies, right? You've seen the movies, shouting, let my people go, you know. If you're old enough, you remember Charlton Heston movies. I mean, that was pretty good. But they got a lot of the VeggieTales movies. I mean, all the movies out. So we see the highlights. But what we've been seeing so far in the book of Exodus, it's really challenging us to change our thinking. That we've been thinking about this life all wrong. That we live this life for ourselves, for our families, for our kids, for our grand. Essentially what we do is we build our kingdom. And then where Christ fits in, almost like an addendum on a Sunday, we tag him along. Or if you're brave enough, even on Wednesday night, we tag him along. But we compartmentalize this life to where we have our church life, but then here's everything else. And what Exodus is doing is he's challenging us to listen. We've got it backwards. Your sole purpose, and we saw this last week, our sole purpose here on earth is to glorify God. That's our job, our life. That's everything in your life should scream glory to God. But somehow we've got our wires crossed, and it's all about us. And he's going to continue that theme today, and I'm going to start by asking you a challenging question. And I want you to take this question serious. So what today we're looking for through chapter 7 through 10. It's the plagues. But I really want to hone in on chapter 10, verse 3. So look at it with me. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews." Here's the question. "How long will you refuse to humble yourselves before me?" How long will you refuse to humble yourself? I mean, it's a powerful question. It's really a pivotal moment in our story of Israelites being liberated from Egypt, right? It's a powerful moment. It reveals God's persistence, his demand of Pharaoh, for Pharaoh's humility, his desire for his people to have freedom. In this one verse, we see not just a personal conflict between Moses and Pharaoh, but we see kind of this larger struggle between God's will and the pride of man. And that's where the question lands, is God's will and the pride of man. Remember how it all started, right? God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh, tell him to release the children of Israel. Then we get the movie moment, right? We get the movie moment where Moses goes up to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, "Let my people go," right? I mean, that's a classic. Everybody understands that. Everybody knows that. But what the movie doesn't show you is the rest of that verse. And so look at it, Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. The NIV version. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go, and look at the last part, so that they may worship me." So every time you see that, even in verse 10, if you read on down, it will say the same thing. Let my people go so they can worship me. They were in bondage. They knew they wanted to be free, right? They knew they were living in bondage. They knew what they were living in was not right. They knew they needed out. But free to what was unclear. Right? They're going to be free. Yes, yeah, we're free, we're free. And then the what caused the problem. Same way with you and I. We know something's not right. We know we're not living right. We know we maybe make some choices. We're doing things we shouldn't allow in our life, but we're allowed, and we know it's not right. We come to a service like today, we give our heart back to Jesus, say, "Lord, forgive me for these choices," and we're free, and it's so awesome. But then free to what? And that's where we get in trouble. Because we got freedom, it's awesome, but then we go back to the same way we've been living. Until we figure out the second part of that verse, that we can worship him. Today we're going to look at 7 through 10. Like I said, we're looking at the plagues. And what's so amazing about this is that word plague, by definition, is something always is compared to what happened in Egypt. Even today, we hear people speak of disasters of biblical proportion, right? Well, that's because of 10 plagues in Egypt. They've kind of been the benchmark, the standard which all other disasters are measured against. So there's 10 total plagues, right? And we go through the Bloody Nile, we go through frogs, we go through gnats, we go through flies, which that one I don't quite understand. Gnats are essentially flies, right? But anyways, gnats, flies, we go to dead livestock, we go to boils, we get hail, locusts, darkness, and then the 10th one is the death of the firstborn. We won't cover the 10th one today, we'll catch it later. But today we're looking at first nine. And what I want you to see in these first nine plagues, what's very cool is each one of them, they focus on a god of the Egyptians, lowercase god, right? And so they all represent one of the Egyptians' gods. The Bloody Nile was Hapa and Orsis, represent the gods of the Nile, right? The plague of the frogs was their fertility god. Which is kind of funny, because if you read through the plagues, the frogs came up out of the Nile. They went everywhere. They were in the house. They were in the kitchen. They were in the bedroom. I mean, you couldn't walk without stepping on a god and killing a god, which is pretty humorous if you think about it. But this is what were happening. What we see is every one of the darkness. The plague of darkness was against Ra, the sun god. But it's so cool to see how people set these idols up in their lives, right? These false gods, and they're living for these false gods. And then here comes God to show how supreme he is, how more powerful he is in all these things. And that's what's happening, every one of these plagues. They see that one, you said you served that. This is me. Oh, Oh, that's cute. You serve a frog. Well, here's me. And everyone is showing how more powerful he is. But I want to start and I want to end with that question in chapter 10, verse 3. How long? How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? That's my question for you today. How long? How long do you refuse to humble yourself before God? I want you to see three parts of this question this morning. The first part I want us to see is the power behind the question. Look at it. Let me read you the New American Standard Version. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews." He's making a point there. You got to understand, in Pharaoh's defense, Pharaoh thought he was a god, a lowercase g god, right? That time, the rulers would set themselves up to be little gods. They would actually consider themselves gods. And so when Moses comes and said, "Hey, the God of the Hebrews wants his people back," Pharaoh's like, "I never heard this guy. Like, what region is he from? What country is he from? Where is he from?" That's what Pharaoh's thinking. He's just like me. He's just one of us. Well, I think that's the danger we fall into culture today. See, in my day, I grew up very legalistic. And what that means is, my day, it was all about the rules. So much about the rules, there was even some rules that weren't even a Bible we had to follow. Like no bowling alleys, no movies. Like, I still don't understand that one. No dancing, I kind of understand that one. But you know, there's a lot of rules, right? And I was taught I had to follow these rules. And that if I didn't follow these rules, there was a God in heaven, he was going to smack me, right? That's how I grew up. Today, though, it seems like the pendulum swung all the way to the other side, that Jesus is my buddy. You know, you got a friend in me, that's talking about me and Jesus, right? I mean, that's how we, and Jesus is a great brother. He is one that sticks closer to us than a brother. He is the one who gave, he is a friend. He is all those things. But I think what happened is somewhere in this pendulum swing from super legalistic to super not, we lost the all of God. And we see it in this verse. He's coming saying, "This is God, the creator of the universe, the one who made all things, the one who says, you got a question? The answer is I am. Whatever you need, I am." He's saying that's how powerful. He is supreme. He is mighty. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He says to the mountain, "Move," and the mountain moves. But somewhere we forgot the power behind who's talking to us. We forgot the reverence due to who he is. And so we hear the question, how long is it going to be? Well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. In reality, we hear that question come from the God of gods, the only true God. It should shake us to the core, and we understand who's asking the question. He loves us, absolutely. He pursues us, absolutely. He showers us with grace and mercy, absolutely. But he is God, and he is a just God. And so when Moses says to Pharaoh, "How long will you refuse to humble yourself?" Listen, that's equivalent to me going up to an ant on my countertop and saying, "How long you continue to pursue my crumbs?" That's what it's like. We got an ant problem in our house. I don't know how we still got ants. We got ants. Walk up to a little ant on the counter, you look at it, and it ticks me off. So what I do, I just take my thumb, right, and he's gone. And then you see others start to move. Then it's a game at that point. Like, how fast can you wipe them out, right? That's equivalent of what's happening here. God is looking at a bunch of ants saying, "How long do you refuse to humble yourself before me? I need you to see the power behind the question." The question is, are you smart enough to recognize and consider the one who's asking the question? question, it denotes power, honor, respect. The second thing I want you to see out of this question is the surprise. I think you can hear the surprise of Moses, like, how long? All right, remember, this is chapter 10. So chapter 10 is after the blood in the Nile, after the frogs, after the gnats, after the flies, after the dead livestock, after the boils, after the hailstorm. I mean, can't you hear the surprise in Moses' voice? Like, are you kidding me? How long, bro, are you going to do this? Like, how much do you have to go through? How many signs you need before you're going to humble yourself? How long is it going to take before you get through that thick skull of yours? I mean, you've got to be surprised. Like, dude, I thought you'd be out after the first two. But then you get boils on you? You're not tapping out after that? We see this pattern a lot. I think some of us even reflect this pattern. Because there's so much surprise because from the fact that Pharaoh, he had a lot of false pretenses of humility in his life. Look at it in chapter 8, verse 8. After the plague, Pharaoh called Moses, Aaron, and said, plead with the Lord, take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let the people go sacrifice the Lord. Pharaoh's like, okay, I give. I give, you win, I repent. Just whatever it takes, get rid of this. Okay, look at verse 28. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go sacrifice the Lord your God in the wilderness. But then in verse 32, Pharaoh hardened his heart, this time also, did not let the people go. His kingdom, everything's going good in his kingdom. But then when things are not going good, he's like, oh yeah, I just need to go to church. I just need to go to church and just confess and I'll be good. So he does that. Everything smooths out. The frogs are gone. And then guess what? His kingdom's back to normal, and is back to his own ways. Hardened his heart. Look again, chapter 9, verse 27. Then Pharaoh sent and called out Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time I have sinned. Okay, all right. First time I was just joking. This time I've sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. I confess. I bowed a knee. I gave my heart to the Lord. I give it back. Okay, but then look at verse 34. But when Pharaoh saw the rain, hail, and the thunderstorm ceased, guess what? He sinned yet again. Hardened his heart, he and his servants. You see these false pretenses of humility that Pharaoh's given to the Lord? Things get tough. Things get hard. Oh, I'm sorry. Things level out. Gain back on. Like, we're good. We're good. We see that. How many? Come on. How many have seen that pattern before? You know, there's that one thing in your life, that one thing that you're pretty sure is not pleasing to God. That one thing that when things get hard, that's the first thing you offer up to God. Okay, God, I'm sorry. You got me. I'm sorry. Just forgive me of this and everything. And once things go back to normal, I'll start building my kingdom again. I don't know if you've done this before, but difficult times, you go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, if you make this right, I will fill in the blank. So you humble yourself. Lord, if you will fill in the blank, I will fill in the blank. We make this bargain. We make this resolution with the Lord. And then when things settle down, you conveniently forget about this resolution you made, and you go back to building your kingdom. This is what's happened in Pharaoh's land. Is he sees it. He sees the damage. He sees it. He wants to get rid. He goes to the Lord and pleads with the Lord. Please, 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 please. Lord makes it right. Things settle down. In over a few days, we go back to whatever. We come to a service like this. We know we have not been living right. We know we made some bonehead mistakes. We know we've let our eyes wander in places they shouldn't wander. We know we got angry with our spouse. We should have got angry. We know we mistreated that person's story. We understand these things. We come to a service like this. Lord, 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 I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And we offer up these false pretenses of humility. Because what happens after a few days, our kingdom settles down, we go back to building our kingdom. What's happening is we turn the Lord into more of a convenience God. More of a part-time God. Showing our relationship is more of a part-time relationship. Because it really is about our kingdom. It's about us building our family, our job, our 401k, our... For the most part, we're happy playing a part of the little God in our lives. Moses is blown away by Pharaoh. Moses has got to be thinking, look at all that God's done for you. He removed the plagues. He removed the rod. He's taken the chains off your wrists. He set you free, and you still refuse to humble yourself. Why? Because he couldn't get it through his head. This life is not about him. This life is not about you. It's not about your perfect house with the 2.5 kids. It's not about your car and the heated steering wheel. It's not about those things. Are those things bad? Absolutely not. Do we want you to have great jobs? Absolutely. My prayer is every one of you becomes a millionaire and you tithe off of that. You know, that's my prayer. I want you to have everything in the best of life as long as you keep God at the center of that life. As long as your life is giving God the glory. But the problem is we forget about that part. We go into building our kingdom. And we get into more what we can do for ourselves. So it goes back to the question, how long? How long will you refuse to humble yourself before the Lord? Part of that humbling yourself before the Lord is understanding this life is all for his glory. Everything we do is for the glory of God, not for your glory. Last thing I want you to see as part of this question, I want you to see the kindness in this question. If any of you guys watch UFC, you probably shouldn't. It's a very violent sport. But if you ever watched it, you know, you see them and they just knocking a tire off everybody. I can't even talk. I didn't finish my coffee. I apologize. They're beating each other silly, right? And then the one guy always lands a blow, and you can tell he got the chin just right? And he stumbles and he falls. When he falls, that's like a red, that's like the green go, 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 right? Because as soon as he falls, the opponent just leaps and just waylays. I mean, he does not stop. You do not stop until the ref pulls you off, right? Okay, so say there's a UFC fight, and one fighter lands that blow, hits him right on the jaw. The guy, you could tell he shook, drops his knee. What if the opposing fighter said, I'm just going to back in my corner until the bell rings. I'm going to give him a break. You wouldn't do that, right? But that's essentially what God's doing when he's asking this question of Pharaoh. He's giving him a break. He's like, listen. He speaks. God pleads. God abolishes. God persuades before he gives the blow. Think about it. Pharaoh was in the wrong here. What right did Pharaoh have to hold the children of Israel? They're not his people. In reality, they were invited into Egypt as honored guests. He should have very least said, you can go in peace. And that's all that God was asking of him. Let my people go. They're not yours, they're mine. God's asking you the same question this morning. Are you willing to leave the old life behind? Are you willing to leave the life of poor choices? Because he's provided a way out. He loved us so much. You know. He sent his son, stepped out of heaven, took our place. Listen, you and I were created in his image. Why? For his glory. So again, the question is, how long will you refuse to humble yourself? That brings us back to what? The what for? Let my people go. Why? That they may worship me. And this is a central command in Exodus. God's people must be free to worship him. This request is not just about liberation from slavery, but liberation for a purpose. That we have freedom in God's kingdom. It's not just for us to build our kingdom, but it's to worship God. That everything we do, we're to worship God. We're set free to worship. And listen, this concept shifts the ideal from freedom from a purely individualistic view. It shifts it from that to more of a communal, God-centered perspective. Freedom is not just escaping oppression. It's about being empowered to fulfill God's purpose in our lives, which is to bring honor and glory to his name. The worship team, come on up. God calls us to freedom. Not just from something, but to something. Not just from sin, but to a purpose. To worship him in spirit. How does your freedom look today? Are you using your freedom to glorify God? Or is it solely built or used to build your kingdom? Listen, worship isn't limited to what we do here on Sundays. It's how we live every day of our life. That's why I love 1 Corinthians 10:31. I talked to you last week about it, but look at it again with us this week. So, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, what? Do all to the glory of God. You know what that verse says? Every minute, every hour, every day, you're doing for the glory of God. We're set free to bring glory to God. We're set free to worship him. That's the purpose behind it. That's the heart. Listen, that's the heart of the passage this morning, is a battle over worship. Because listen, when you're a prisoner, you're bound to worship whatever that is. Look at how that looks in your life. What's most valuable to you right now? Because that's what you're spending the most time on. You catch yourself, any spare moment, you're looking things up for that thing. Some of you fancy footballers, you don't want me to talk this morning about that. Love fantasy football. But you go to bed checking it, you go wake up, you're checking it. I'm getting ready to go on a hunting trip. I'm pumped. Guess what I'm doing? I wake up in the morning, I check the weather in Dolores, Colorado. Like, what's the temperature? Because it got me a little freaked out. Like, what's the temperature? I'm like researching, like socks. You know, I'm researching all this hunting stuff, you know. And before you know it, you're spending more time on that than you are with God. That's not bad. Your hobby is not bad. But we catch ourselves saying, well, you end up worshiping that thing. That thing consumes us. And that's what God is trying to show us in Exodus, that we become slaves. But now we experience him, we get freedom. But freedom for what? Because we got to occupy our time, or else we don't do good things. He said, freedom to worship me in everything you do. Freedom to worship me when you're eating that soup. If you're eating soup, I'll be praying for you. I'm sorry. When you're eating that meat, you know, you want some fried chicken, you want some barbecue today at lunch, maybe you're eating a El Pastor taco for lunch today. Come on, somebody. He's saying, even doing that, you can worship him. Even when you go to the grocery store, you can worship him. You can bring glory to his name by the way you treat people. When you talk to them out, when you're paying cash for the gas, because you're going to have to talk to somebody now. sin every minute, every day. You're going on that hunting trip. Every stop you make, you're bringing glory to God. If you stop at work tomorrow and you pray over your lunch, guess what you're doing? You're bringing glory to God. Every minute, every day, God, how can I bring glory to your name today? That's why he's given us freedom. Because when you do that, the people around you got questions. They got questions why you didn't blow up that coworker. Why do you show patience with that coworker? Why you show forgiveness? In that moment, you're bringing glory to God, and they got questions. When you get that medical diagnosis and you're smiling, believe me, a lot of people have questions. In that moment, you're bringing glory to God. That's what living out that passage means in our life. In Pharaoh's case, his idolatry, his pride of his own power was what was keeping the Israelites from fulfilling their purpose. There's a lot of things in our life today that a lot of Pharaohs hold us back from worshiping God. The question is, what's holding you back? What's the most important thing in your life right now? Why don't you stand with us? Pharaoh's refusal to bow before God led to his own destruction. This morning, I want to ask you that question again, and we find in verse 3, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before the Lord? How long will you refuse to lay down that thing you've been carrying? That one thing you know that is not pleasing to God. How long will you refuse to humble yourself? This is God we're talking about. He's showing kindness right now by presenting the question to you this morning. This morning, some of you walked in bondage. Some of you have not laid it down before. Some of you have not asked for forgiveness. Some of you are hanging on to that. Refuse to admit you made a mistake. How long were you refuse to let that one thing go? Well, it's not hurting anybody, Pastor. Nobody even knows. Listen, God knows. He's asked you this morning, how long will you refuse to humble yourself? How long will you refuse to admit you don't have all the answers? For some of you this morning, you've experienced freedom, but your life is not glorifying God. You came to the altar, you bowed a knee, that is wonderful, but now you got freedom and you compartmentalize Christ for Sundays. I worship Jesus on Sunday. He's asking for more. Saying this is why you're created, that every thing you do, you bring glory to his name. That's why we exist here. In your job, in your marriage, in your parenting, are you bringing glory to God? Men, are you leading your family as a spiritual head of your home like you're called to? That's bringing glory to God. Are you loving your spouse like Christ loved the church? Because that's bringing glory to God. The way you treat your coworkers, that's bringing glory to God. We got some work to do. This is how I want to end the service today. I want to ask that question. How long will you refuse to humble yourself? For you, maybe you need to humble yourself and you need to ask for forgiveness. Now's the time you do that. Maybe there's some things in your life you've been holding on to, this grudge or this anger. You need to let it go this morning. So in worship, I pray you let that go. humble yourself. For some of you, you've been forgiven, but you're not living like it. Humble yourself and worship the Lord this morning. Had a great conversation with a gentleman last week after church. Like, Pastor, when somebody says, raise my hand, I want to take the opposite approach. So I'm not going to tell you that this morning. I'm going to tell you, worship the Lord, and all that matters is right here. It doesn't matter if you raise your hand, you don't raise your hand. It doesn't matter if you stand, if you sit down. It matters what's happening right here in your heart. Now's your time. Humble yourself before the Lord and worship Him. Would you worship the Lord with us this moment?
Jesus, be the center of it all. Jesus,